Woohoo! Everyone, hello. I got a text right as the show started, and I debated answering it, but then I realized I needed to host the show. So I really want to answer this text, but instead I'm going to tell you, you know who we have here with us today? We have Matt Apodaca, folks.
What's up? Yay. What's up, freaks? How's everybody doing? The Clown Prince has returned.
The Clown Prince has returned. Just for the smattering of comments over the last few months, Matt Apodaca is not a white person. I just want to say that every... I feel like once a quarter, like in Q4, I need to say that you're not a white person just because of the new listeners.
They're we got to close the fiscal year with just reminding people, not a white, not a white.
Not at all. So Matt's back. He's still not white. I have a text. Yeah. I'm really bringing an Andrew energy. I'm bringing an Andrew bowl of soup energy to the beginning of this record. I'm talking about this text message.
I'm still not white. And no matter how much you beg, no matter how much you plead, I won't do it. I refuse.
Wait, Matt, if we begged you to be white. If you begged me,
like, okay, Tani said so, I guess.
I mean, come on, do it for the show.
Okay, yeah. Oh, actually, you know what? No, they want me to be white. They want me to be white because it's going to make them look good. And I can't give them that. They haven't earned it. We're talking about they.
Like, okay,
you know, the proverbial they?
Yeah.
Just the world of they. Well, as you might have noticed, we don't have Andrew, so we're trying to bring Andrew's je ne sais quoi to this today. I'm Tawny Newsome. That's guest host slash correspondent Matt Apodaca.
That's right. I'm in these streets.
We've got our producer, Kevin Bartel, to the name of this show. Oh, all out of order. The name of the show is Yo, Is This Racist?, where we listen to your voicemails about racism, but first we talk about current events. And sometimes we have a special guest, which we do today. That is our dear friend, friend of the show, friend of our life, Shantira Jackson. Hi, Shantira.
Hi. I love Matt's. What up, freaks?
Trying to get freaks going. Freaks is, I feel like freaks is all encompassing. You get everybody.
I love it. Yeah. What's up, freaks? I love it.
It's like, no matter what type of freak you are, you like it a little bit to be kind of a freak.
Yeah, you were acknowledged. It. Yeah, it's good.
Mm-hmm. R.I.P. Freaknik.
may he rest.
Did Freaknik die? I'm confused. Shantira, do you have any text messages that just came through?
Do I?
Am I the only one?
No, I had a text message right before this started that from my friend. But like, I mean, we could talk about it if you want.
Does it have to do with racism? Do you get a lot of people texting you, asking you if they can do things, if things are okay?
It used to be like that. I've kind of purged that, kind of.
That's good.
Like, because like at first I was like, don't message me, Venmo me. And then like a bunch of white people sent me money. And I was like, this is cool. I'll accept this. This is great.
Like, would they send you a question along with the money? Like, no, here's $25. Like, I just got to know if my Halloween costume is bad.
This was like, it was like, because, you know, we was going through, we still are, like, a whole ass race war. And, like, all these white people would be like, I don't know what to do. And I was like, send black women money. Don't talk to them. Give them money for food. They're having a hard time. Don't bother them with your white nonsense. Send them money. And I was just talking about, again, you know, everyone, all of them.
Sure,
you know what? But I guess the ones that follow me were like, she was right. And then I just got a bunch of money. And I was like, this is great. So I don't really get too much race stuff, but like, but this is just like non sequitur. And please don't come for me if you're a DJ Khaled fan. But like, have you ever seen him live in concert?
Oh, shit.
Live? I have not.
Okay, so I have seen him, not him purposefully, he was the opener. And like, he was the opener for Beyonce, and he was the opener for Demi Lovato. You guys, I have range.
Oh, damn.
Okay. And both of those, he like had a little scooter, like a little kid scooter, and he would like scoot around stage because Beyonce's stage was very big. But he would play songs that he produced, but he had a DJ. So I was like, you don't sing.
You don't sing.
Your name is DJ Khaled, but you don't even DJ this set.
You're not going to DJ.
So he didn't DJ. And if anybody has ever seen him live and he has DJed, don't message me. I don't care. But when when he opened for Beyonce, the Beyonce, he just came out and he'd be like, this another one I produced. And then he'd be like, DJ, kick it. And then the DJ would play his song, and then he would just walk around on stage.
Damn.
So then my friend was like, I was just thinking about that time we saw Beyonce and DJ Khaled was just on a scooter. And then we laughed and laughed and laughed. And then I was going to text her later. So that is the last text that I got. So it's not racist, but it's like, it is a thing where it's like, Chloe and Halle were openers and then Beyonce. So these bitches doing the most. Then costume DJ Khaled looks on a scooter and Jay-Z coming out in a hat every once in a while she's doing a full costume change. So it's just like very much like men doing very little and women doing the most.
The most. And we accept it. I bet a bunch of people go to DJ Khaled concerts to see DJ Khaled wander around and point at the stuff that he did.
Well, maybe he DJs, but I was like, oh, it's going to be cool to see like him do a DJ set. Because I was like, sure. Oh, if he's going to be here, he's going to be, there's another one. No.
Yeah.
No.
Girl, he did not touch that. He didn't touch a spin. He didn't scritchy scratch.
Yeah.
He didn't touch a nothing.
Damn.
Maybe people go, because like, remember he famously like got lost on a jet ski? Maybe like on Snapchat?
Oh, yeah.
Maybe they're like, if we go to this, it might happen. We might watch this man lost. Get lost.
Yeah. That's why he has that scooter. He's like, I don't know where I'll end up. Another one. I'll see you in 3.5 minutes.
Yeah. It was
I might not be able to walk back from where I get to.
The stage was big, though. If you don't do cardio, I fully understand. It was a huge stage.
Sure.
And he was like, I'm a scoot. But I was also like, he'd just be like, this is a song I made with Justin Bieber. And I'd be like, you're just going to tell me. Also,
and Justin Bieber's not even here.
In the song, you say that. So he said it before the song played, and then the song would play, and then he would say, DJ Khaled. And I was like, this is redundant.
I feel like that's something he would say.
Yeah.
DJ Khaled. This is redundant.
Yeah, that's what he means when he says another one. He's like, another one?
Right. His original catchphrase was, this is redundant. And then his manager was like, you might want to make it more of the streets. Speaking of the streets, this is also a non sequitur. Let's see if I can fix it. So Shatira could be in these streets for the rest of the afternoon if she wanted, because she's not working the rest of the day. But what are you working on? What are you?
There you go. Yes, I was released for the rest of the day. We have my table read tomorrow. I am working on the Big Mouth spinoff called Human Resources.
Nice.
Oh, cool. That's where I'm at right now. But
very
not right
fun.
Now because I'm off. Ooh.
And I also saw that you have a pilot. You and Amber Ruffin have a pilot called Aunties. I'm so excited.
Wow. I am so excited about this black ass show, y'all. Like, I want it to be made so bad. Like, and you know, I'm like, I mean, y'all might know, but I am absolutely dead inside. This industry has killed me. But the little, tiny, small birthday candle of a flame that is still burning within me wants the show to get made. So, manifest, send your prayers up, shout out, pray to Beyonce if you must. I would really love for it to, like, to happen. It's like, I don't know, it's a show about aunties. The fun black kind.
Are there, when you say aunties, I guess if you're East Asian or something, I guess there could be other definitions. But when a black woman says aunties, I don't have a question about what type those are.
Yeah, I think so too. I also think that one of the things that like people would, after the announcement was made, people were kind of messaging me, but it is like, it's an international thing. Cause I think that like, it is, I think, very specifically like a POC thing for like the people, women in your family, your mother's friends, your just the friends of the family to be your aunties. And like, I know black aunties, like I'm not trying to write nobody else shit. But like, I do know that there is like, auntie is so like, it's Nigerian, it's Indian.
Yeah.
It's like, there are so many implications to it, but all of it is like very, I feel like the heart of it, the keystone of it is the same, where it's like these women are women who help you become the person that you are, who are not your mother. And I think that is like a big thing with like cultures that are very big on community helping to raise children. So I'm doing the black story, but like I feel like other people are excited too, because you know exactly what that means. So
absolutely.
Fingers crossed, y'all. My cold dead heart.
I wrote something once and I had my husband read it and he said, this I had this one character that was supposed to be white and he was like, she calls her aunt, auntie. Like, that's not, white people don't do that. And I was like, doesn't everybody just say auntie? He was like, no.
No.
You, yeah. He's like, you changed this character. She's no longer white if she's saying auntie. I was like, okay. Mm-hmm. And just like Shantira, don't message us if you are white and you call your aunties aunties. We don't
care.
Yeah,
please. I that's how you know that you've, like, I saw this tweet about this. It was like, you know, people who've been on Twitter, or you know, people who are like active on the internet, because something that should not need like a preface, you'll be like, if you're mad about it, please leave me alone. And it's like, I'm just talking about like cheese doodles. You'd be like, I like these cheese doodles, but if you don't, please don't come for me next Tuesday. It's like, we're all terrified.
I feel like I've been on a few podcasts recently where I've explicitly stated, leave me alone. Don't, like, don't write to me. I don't want to hear it.
I don't want to hear about it.
Definitely done too many podcasts, because we know this crowd has gotten good, though. I feel like we've either whipped them into shape or they've all gone dormant for the winter and they're all asleep. I don't know. But
oh yeah.
No one really bugs us anymore about shit. I feel like they're all like, we know they don't want to hear it. And yeah. And for that, we love you.
Yes, we love you, but don't message me about it.
I don't want to hear it. I love you too. I don't even need that.
I don't need that. We know you do. If you love us, buy some merch. If you love us, buy some merch.
Or Venmo a black lady.
There we go. Okay, good. Now we've got the plugs out of the way up top. Okay. All right. So, Shantira, we were talking before we got on mic about a couple of wild but not horrifyingly depressing news stories. Just want to say that because, you know, the last month, year, all of our lives have been wild. So we actually were like, are there a couple of news stories that are not the most horrific thing to ever have happened? And the answer is yes. And I'm sure there was bad shit, too. But we're going to talk about these two right now. So first, in the San Francisco Chronicle, I'm sure everybody saw this. It's been flying around Twitter. A black couple erased themselves from their home to... Man, fuck you, San Francisco Chronicle. I just read this article and now it's telling me to pay for it. I can't even read the damn headline.
I can read it for you.
Okay, go ahead. You read it.
A black couple erased themselves from their home to see if the appraised value would go up. It did, by nearly $500,000.
A half a million dollars. And so the context for this is that they had gotten an appraisal 10 months prior. So these are both 2020 appraisals. And then 10 months later, you know, I don't know, they're selling or the market's changed or whatever. So they're trying to sell it again. And it appraises for $500,000 less. So then they go in there and they're like, let's see if it's our blackness that's throwing this off. So they erase themselves from the home, take their family photos out, take their artwork out. Because you know how black people, we have very specific art, you know, apparently.
That same bed sheet from 1994, you know what you're talking about.
Just too many. I just picture like Ankhs hanging all over their walls and like just like a little bust of Nefertiti somewhere. They're like, we gotta get this out of here. Get some West Elm in here. So they West Elm their house. And then they had this white lady named Jan, I think. I think her name was literally Jan. Sit at their kitchen island and pretend to be the owner while the next appraiser went through and the thing appraised for like $1.6 million instead of a million or whatever. This is wild.
But not surprising.
Yeah.
I'm always like mad, but I'm always like, it's racist. And then you'd be like, I'm going to wait to see why, but I'm sure that it's that.
Right. Do you also get that feeling like I do where I go like, well, yeah, y'all should have done that first, which is terrible, but it's what I think. I'm like, yeah, you should have erased your black ass from that house first.
Yeah. It's sort of like, it's that same thing of like when you hear about people who put like a less like ethnic version of their name on a resume, like instead of going by Jose, they'll put Joseph or something like that. It's that similar thing where when I hear something like that, I'm like, well, if everybody just did this, this article wouldn't be telling me about it. But also, you shouldn't have to do this. Like this is right. Like not, this is not how functioning society is supposed to operate.
Yeah.
If the home is worth a certain amount, it's worth a certain amount, no matter the owner.
Some of it is like, yes, appraisals are subjective, but like they bought it for a certain amount. Then they put, I think it said $400,000 into like making a mother-in-law unit and like all these upgrades and shit. And it's the Bay Area. Real estate in California is downright criminal. It's so out of whack. But you know, based on what is going, what the houses around you are going for, you know roughly what your home is worth. So, mm-hmm. and the fact that they had two appraisals inside of a year tell them it was worth this much, and then just this one lady came in and appraised them at $500,000 under, that's wild. But yeah, I have that feeling of like, I feel bad that this happened, but I'm also not surprised.
No.
Which, oh, yeah.
No.
Sucks.
I'm always like, oh, okay. Well, I hope they get their money.
Yeah. And honestly, shout out to Jan. Jan seems like a real one. That's
yeah.
That rocks.
Yeah. Get you a white ally who will sit there and pretend to be the owner of your home.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That's mm-hmm. the best one.
Everyone needs a white friend that's going to help you pull a gotcha. You need yep. one.
That's why I got married. he's the face of all our transactions.
Oh,
a bank
yeah.
don't see me. Nobody sees me.
Uh-uh. Oh yeah. Like my partner is we always leave her name for like stuff. It's like
yeah.
they gonna call you back. Shantira Jackson. Ain't no hiding that. We gonna use your white name, baby. Come on. Mm-hmm. Gonna send this out.
That's then where I slip into the lack of shadow realm, and then I present the way I present and mm-hmm. just navigate society with everyone none the wiser.
Mm-hmm. Shantira, do you have a white name or a white avatar or something?
Oh yeah. Do I have like a white name that I use?
Yeah.
No, I don't, because like I have like when I get like a house or something, but. I just use Shantira Jackson because it's like, it is what it is. Because yeah. just leave me alone. Or I just be like, okay, I have a job. I feel like having a job really helps. So like, yeah. I'll be like, okay, baby, we use your little white name. And then we'll show them my pay stubs. And then we're good to go. money talks, but you got to get in the dough first. Like Oprah, they wouldn't sell Oprah anything. So like, yeah. you just got to be like, all right, we sneak in there. And then I'll be like, ha ha, I can afford it. That yep. is how we do it in this house.
That's smart. Look, it's a shame it's come to this, but you got to have a tactic.
And, you got to be sneaky. You got to be sneaky. I saw this like maybe it's a TikTok. I don't know. It's on the internet, but like this group of friends went like to a national park, and they just like had their white friend be like, "Go ask the ranger some questions." So yeah. anytime they had some questions, or they like needed to go somewhere, they like send their designated white and be like, "Go find out what's the best trail for us." You found out. You got the questions. All right, let's go. It's like you need you a designated white for some stuff.
I know.
Just so you make your life easier.
It's given me like being outdoors like that. It's given me, and I don't love this, an aversion to rangers, which I don't love because generally, like, they're not like the park cops. They're generally like mm-hmm. dorks who love nature, mm-hmm. who are just there to make sure you're safe. They're kind of like what cops should be. Like,
yeah,
you don't have a gun.
Yes.
Yeah, they're just like, hey, we love this place and we want you to enjoy it safely. Let us help you with that. Here's information.
Check out this tree.
But because I have found that they tend to like over explain or like condescend to me, like I just detect it enough that I don't see mm-hmm. it happen with my white friends or with Nate, that I'm just mm-hmm. like, I don't love this. It also has done a fucked up thing to my brain where now I feel like I need to be like kitted out very clearly as an experienced outdoor person. Like I feel like my gear needs to be like mm-hmm. practical but professional. Like, this is basically the equivalent of my grandmother yelling at me for wearing jeans to church when I was a kid, because she was like, you don't see the white people wearing jeans, do you? Like, basically making me overdress to be taken seriously. But that's what I'm doing in the outdoors, which is mm-hmm. stupid. They just want to keep us safe from mountain lions.
Yeah, but, like, your lived experience also goes, this is what's best for me.
Yeah.
Like, you'd be like, better safe than sorry. I just don't want... I'm just, you know, you're tired. We did it.
Yeah.
We've done it before. It's like, let me go and get this fancy water bottle so they'll leave me alone.
Exactly. Let me go have this GPS unit that I know how to use and show them so that I just have less conversation. Just mm-hmm. less headache is really all.
Yeah. We're really doing a lot of work.
Really? Like, I just want to take a walk. I just want to walk around some trees. Okay. Let's see if I can do this. Speaking of walking around some trees...
Here we go.
Oh, shut up. That's something that you might do in virtual reality. And another thing you could do in virtual reality is go to a racial sensitivity training. How was
stuck
that?
It again.
Did I do it? great.
You really did a great job, actually.
Yeah, all the judges are holding up tens.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I feel like I can't breathe. My face got hot. It was very stressful. Okay, so this is a company is under fire for using white actors to play black characters in VR training. So this is sensitivity training that, like, I don't know, corporations are using. I don't know. And they have live actors doing the motion capture and the voice, and they're playing black characters, sometimes even utilizing a black dialect.
Yikes.
I saw something. I'm not sure if this was from the company or if this was from someone just speculating. I saw someone say, like, well, isn't this better than asking black actors to, like, relive this trauma?
And no, because they get paid. See, I do the trauma for free. If you want me to pretend trauma, give me money. Viola Davis don't win Oscars for free. She do the trauma and she do the crime, then she get the money. That's difference. True.
I never thought about it like this, but thank you, Shantira, for giving me the phrase Viola Davis, she do the trauma.
Because that is trauma.
What a lot of her work is, unfortunately, she has to do the trauma, but then she gets a large sum at the end.
She's not snot crying for free. When that lady called me nigga at Starbucks that one time, that trauma was free. If that Starbucks want to repay, like pay me to pretend to get called nigga, I might do that. I already did it for free. Give me the money.
Weird new holiday installation where they just they put you in there.
Oh, you gonna be mean to me, white lady, and I'm gonna get my SAG card? Okay. I'd rather do that.
Well, but then that's the other question. You know, we know some people, we have some friends who do this mocap work, and the pay is all over the map. So it's non-union often, I think always. So then that begs the question of, like, so if this is a shit gig, if it's like some money, but it's not. I was once on a the Clue slot machine in Chicago. They have this they make the slot machines for the casinos. And so I was Miss Scarlet being like, oh, no, you rolled it, whatever the fuck. And I got paid $400 before taxes, but I really needed it at the moment. But then anytime I was in a casino for the next 10 years, I would see my face and voice and body on this slot machine. So that's a bad gig. So if if that gig had also involved like racial trauma, I think that I would have been like, please just give this to a white person in blackface.
Yeah.
I don't want to do this.
Yeah, but you're like this one, it's like, it's a cartoon character. I don't know, at least ask. If you're like, we asked 100 million black people and they said no, I'd be like, you know what? Okay, you really tried. You thought I made a try.
Or
try at all. There was like, nobody's gonna see this, and it's like, no, Dave. Everyone's gonna see. Everybody knows everything.
Yeah.
Everybody's gonna know because somebody's gonna take a screenshot, even though you told them to turn their phone off, and they're gonna go on Facebook and be like, "Look what I did."
Yeah, and maybe increase the pay. Then I created the hypothetical that the pay was bad. I don't know that the pay is bad for this, but yeah, they should have just hired some black people to do the trauma.
Yeah.
Okay, so digital blackface. Also, we were talking about before this, because we had talked about digital blackface like a few months ago. We've talked about a lot, but we talked about it a few months ago specifically when Tracy Thomas from The Stacks was hosting the show with me. And we were talking about that in terms of emoji use, like when white people or folks of various tans start to use slightly darker emojis and how we feel about that.
Yeah.
Matt, how do you feel about that?
I mean, it comes up like a bit because I play a lot of video games too, and you know, nowadays you can sort of customize your video game avatar to, you know, sort of like match what you look like. So I often find myself as like a Latinx person being like, okay, well, one of these is too dark and the other one is too light, so it's not like 100%. So you end up making a choice that you're either like, well, this doesn't feel right, or well, this is just for me to see, I guess. But but in terms of like emoji use, I am sort of like, I love to see it. I love to see it when it's us, I guess. Like, but my general thought on it for white people is that they should just use the default yellow emoji one, because it just when they use the white one, it feels like they're too proud of it. It's like, okay, well, wait a second. It just is, it never feels good to me. It's always a little like fun. I'm white.
Well, it's not fun. Like, okay, so like I do, like I'm a dark skinned black girl, and like, you know, like in mine, you know, the claps, you'd be like, we are doing this.
Yes.
Like if a white person does it, it seems like mean. It's like, are you yelling at me? Like, I don't want your white hands clapping at me. Y'all don't want to see y'all. Okay, no, get that up out of here. Like, no. I don't want to see it.
And they, like, put too many claps because they're off beat.
Mm-hmm. I'm like, don't be clapping at me. So yeah, I don't know. I'm not a fan.
Yeah, we kind of arrived at this last time too. And no, before y'all come up with like, well, that's not fair, it's a double standard. Yes, it is. Because it's an overcorrection to the double standard that's been happening forever.
Sorry that the world is made for you. You're gonna have to take this L, my friend.
Just use your Simpsons emojis.
Yeah, just use your basic yellow. It's less, it makes us have to think about it less. And if you're black, use the black that feels closest to you.
Yeah, I don't, to quote Lisa Kudrow from The Comeback, I don't need to see that. I don't need to see it.
Oh boy, the Comeback reference. Okay, well, this has been fantastic. We're going to take a little break and then we're going to come back. We're going to listen to some voicemails. We back. You just listened to an ad. I'm still here. We got the Clown Prince Matt. We got producer Kevin. We got Shantira Jackson. What a dream team. Okay, so we got some voicemails to listen to. Andrew picked the voicemails. Andrew always picks the voicemails, but since he's not here, now that means that no one here has heard them, because Kevin and I famously don't listen ahead of time. Kevin, unless you did you listen?
I listened to like 15 seconds of both of them.
Okay, so this is a risky, so unprepared almost. Move. This is a risky move. We're sorely unprepared, but hey, somebody had to bring the Andrew. Okay.
Yep. All right, here we go.
Let's kick it.
Hi, my name is Carl, and I have a question for you guys. So the Key and Peele sketch, the East-West Bowl, kind of ramps up a bunch of names of people who play football who are all black, like, for example, Le Carpatron Duke Marriott, and then ramps it up to... was it X-Wing at Aliciousness? I mean, and I'm white, and I love this sketch. It's like the funniest thing I've ever heard. But I can't help but question, like, is this a thing that I don't know, is this racist to laugh at this? It's obviously a parody of, like really elaborate black people names. I don't know what to think about this.
You almost made it.
So close.
Is it racist for me to like this? I love this sketch. It's
you
one
were
of my
fine.
In the whole
time
world.
Of death.
And every time I sneakily watch it on my phone. I hope you guys are well. And Tommy, there's some artistic that you're just so great in Lower Decks.
Okay. Oh,
I'm
thank
watching
you. Oh,
never mind. He's okay.
I think you're great in it. All right. Thanks. Bye.
Oh, that's nice.
Put the defibrillator on himself.
Oh, that's very sweet. I also, I feel like, okay, knowing that this person is a Trek fan, Trek fans are sweet. Trek fans tend to be, I mean, there's monsters out there, but I don't consider those real fans. But the Trek fans tend to be very inclusive and sweet and kind. So I'm going to give this person a lot of benefit of a lot of doubt.
Yes.
But Carl, don't say elaborate black people names.
He was really searching for it, and I was like, we already know what you're talking about. Like, we know what you mean, and you can just that was the equivalent of somebody slowly backing out of a room, but like on the phone. It was just like, I need to leave, but I was like, you just close the door.
Just go.
It's that thing that white people do, sort of, that is sort of like they're trying to make like a well-intentioned point, but then also like step on their own foot and like trip and like fall down a bunch of stairs on accident. Yeah. Just like
when really like the answer to save you there is just brevity is your friend. You said the Key and Peele sketch Eats Meets West, and I went, which one is that? And then I looked it up and I found a list on Screen Rant was like every name they use, and I was like, oh right, this is the one with the wild names. So like, we know, and audience, if you don't know, it's a sketch about a bunch of names that get more and more elaborate. So yeah, you could have just
see how easy that was.
You could have just
Wait, I'm trying to make sure. I know, is that the one where they're like in school and he's like Aaron, or is this
no?
The
no, this
it's
is like they're
presenting
announcing
the starting lineup.
Players.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
And it goes like, here's some of the names: Demarcus Williams, T.J. Juxon, Devariousness King, Tyrol Smoochie Wallace. Like, and it just keeps getting wilder mm-hmm. and wilder. And there's like probably 40 names. The caller. Okay, so now that we're done dragging the caller wants to know if it's racist to like the sketch.
It's not racist to like the sketch. The reasons why you like the sketch could be sketchy. I think that is the thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think that, because I don't remember this sketch. But as someone, like, with a name, my name is Shantira Jackson. Like, mm-hmm. I'm Black. You could tell it is what it is, right? But I think that there is something funny about, like, I don't remember this sketch. I just kind of remember another sketch where he's in class and he's like making fun of like white people names.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that there is comedy that comes a lot of times from familiarity of that feeling of being like, yeah. I know somebody like that. That's funny. And there's comedy and it's funny in the familiarity of those situations. But then there's also people who laugh at those names. And then yeah. that's where we have a problem. So I think that that's where the nuance is. It's like, why is it funny? Is it funny because you think those names are stupid and funny? Or is it funny because of the familiarity that comes up, whatever that might be for you, that yeah. makes this situation funny to you? Which is a what I think a lot of Key and Peele does, obviously social and political satire and whatnot, but like the familiarity of being like, oh yeah, that yeah. is what it's like when I watch the NFL draft.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's so right. It is the difference between going like, oh my God, that's basically my cousin's name and they're making a parody of it. And like laughing because you're like, oh my God, that feels so real. The familiarity, like you said, versus like, oh yeah, Black people do have wild names and they always have. It's a fine line, but look, no one's going to come to your house and put you in handcuffs for thinking the wrong thing when you laugh. But
mm-hmm.
I do think like you should, you know, you should have some... just some awareness around it, especially if you're telling other people, if people are like, what's your favorite sketch? And you're like, oh, you know what? The one I love, the one with all the Black people names that are crazy, or however you said it in the voicemail. Like, that's not how you yeah. want to present it.
Yeah.
Just because it's tricky. And the main thing is because if you're saying that to a Black person who doesn't know you, they don't know where you're coming from. They don't mm-hmm. know what's in your heart. They
right.
don't know that you like Star Trek and that you're probably a sweet person.
Yep.
They think, here's this fucking white person laughing at our names.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
You know, protect yourself.
And definitely also just like be careful of like, yeah, like what you find funny about it. Like, it's not racist to enjoy Black art. It's just, it's like, but how you enjoy it, I gave a look and that's not good for the podcast, but you Ooh. Know what I mean.
Yeah, I'll tell you what the look looks like. So do the look again and I'll make the sound. Ooh, that was really
bad. That was a great collaboration. Oh,
that's,
wow.
That's the sound that came.
Shantira, would you like to make noises for the looks that I give?
Yeah, that was a good one, though, because that was one of those where I was like, ooh, you need to mind your business.
Mm-hmm. It is a little bit. It's a look I see often on an auntie. That was a little bit of an auntie mm-hmm. look, for sure.
Hey, look. One of those. I'm flattered. Thank you.
Absolutely.
Auntie minded their business, you know, when they like, see, and uh-huh. then they like, you take a sip of your wine, you go, mm-hmm,
yep.
and then you just take a little sip. That's what yep. that was. Yeah.
That is what it was. All right. We helped the caller, right? You
we
can like the
so.
Thing. Just be
Absolutely.
Careful. all right.
Team
let's kick
slaps.
The next.
We all agree.
Yeah. The next voicemail.
Hi, everybody. So I've listened to the podcast for a long time, but I've never really felt the need to call in until today. So what is worse, I'm a Black man and I live in East LA. But I was at a laundromat today, and while I was minding my business, washing clothes, this whiter-than-white guy comes up to me and just starts speaking Swahili for no apparent reason. And when I didn't respond, homeboy said to me, oh, I just assumed he would speak Swahili, and then walked away as if that interaction didn't happen. It was just kind of funny because I happen to speak Amharic, which is a language spoken in East Africa, but not. Anyways, that's not important. I'm pretty sure I just experienced the racism. What do you guys think? Okay, bye.
Oh my God. Why did I feel like this was like. Why do I feel like this is in like a sci-fi movie or something and someone just comes up to the one person who they think they need to help them, and they tell them some code in another language, and then that person doesn't help them. That's the only way that this is okay, is if that man is in a sci-fi movie.
Should but we be going up to white people and being like, hello, what's all this then? Like it just doesn't make sense. Like, it, all racism is stupid if you boil it down. If you just flip it and do it to a white person, it's going to sound the dumbest thing on earth. So, you like, don't do it, you idiot.
You know what's wild, though, is if you went up to, like, some well-dressed white woman in Silver Lake and you were like, bonjour, je ne sais quoi.
I would be right, probably.
They would be
very
flattered. They'd be like, oh, my God, thank you.
Thank you so much.
They think I'm French because everything's better than being, like, a white American. If you came up and were like, oh, I thought you were Irish. Oh, I thought you were British. They'd be like, what? That's the cool kind of white with an accent. It's like, but if you went to Ireland and were like, I thought you were American, they will slit your throat. They'd be like, no!
You're not
they
coming back.
You in the
no!
We'll bury you under the Blarney Stone. Yeah.
That's the worst thing in the world. Only white Americans think people want to be there. Everyone's like, no. Everybody's like, mm-mm. I mean, we are colonizers, but we have an accent. Gang, gang, Britain. Like, they don't want to be American.
Oh, my God.
That's so weird.
Kevin's naming this episode Gang, Gang, Britain. I can already tell. But that's an interesting point, though, because it's like, because Black Americans, you know, we're a unique cultural thing that doesn't really have claims anywhere. Like, the American Negro is a creation of and from here, and only of and from here. So we don't want to be, because we can't be really anything else or from anywhere else. Those of us who don't know our lineage. So it's weird to assume going up to someone and speaking an African language almost says, I think you're this other thing that, I don't know, maybe is tinged with a little bit of like, that's better than just being a Black person from here. Maybe I think you're more culture. I don't know what was in that person's head.
Well, they were probably excited. They were like, oh, well, number one, excited that they got to use this thing that they probably went on some fucking mission and had no business being there anyway.
Yeah.
I was being like, oh, we can talk about why I know Swahili. But also just from bare minimum, stop bothering people. Don't nobody want to talk to you. Let's take the racism out of this. If you see a complete stranger in a laundromat, that is one of the worst places on the planet to be talked to by a stranger. Literally. Just imagine. Have you ever been in a laundromat? You're in a place. All you want is to be at your house. It blows.
Yeah.
And then a strange man. No, men, stop walking up to people. Other men, other women. Don't nobody want to talk to you, especially in a laundromat.
Yeah, especially surrounded by like other people's funky clothes. It's not, no one's excited to be at a laundromat.
No.
No.
Leave them alone.
Leave everybody alone. But the Swahili,
and don't assume we're not from here, because we're very uniquely from here. I don't know if the caller is.
We're both doing this.
Yeah.
leave me alone.
If you're going to talk to somebody about something, talk about the thing you're both doing. Don't invent an origin story for me.
Yeah.
Well, also, as a Black person, one time I got in a Uber, and like, if you don't know what I look like, I have like a shaved head. I'm a dark-skinned Black girl with a shaved head. And I got in an Uber in Chicago once, and this African guy was my Uber driver, and he was like so excited to see me. And he was like, my queen, are you Nigerian? And I was like, oh, baby, I am going to disappoint you. I am from Florida. I don't know nothing else about me. We ain't got no records. Girl, I'm so sorry. And he was like, oh, do you speak? No.
No, I speak barely, Florida.
I barely speak English around this bitch. I got rid of my accent so I could be in Actors Equity, okay? I do not. I'm so sorry. I know I look like your African princess, your queen. I'm not. Please take me to the Gold Coast. I'm sorry.
Bushy, what was he doing in the Gold Coast? What would you
just hanging out. Okay. I just felt like I was getting an Uber. I was going somewhere that needed money.
Let me go buy some jewels.
Yeah. But it was like, sometimes people be really excited. And it really is. Be like, I'm so sorry that you are so happy. I might be Nigerian. I might need to take a test. But right now, 100% Floridian girl. I'm so sorry.
Right now, I'm from Andersonville, and I'm going to the Gold Coast.
Gold Coast. Yes.
Yes, you picked me up from here. You're taking me somewhere else. That's the story.
Yeah, that's it.
Where are you from? Halstead in Milwaukee, where you picked me up.
Yeah. Yeah. Where am I from? Chicago. Not the burbs. Not Oak Park. Chicago.
Yeah, I guess I wish more people, I get a lot of the where are you from in a cab and stuff too. And mm-hmm. I just don't, I'm not interested in, one, you're a stranger. Two, yeah. I'm not interested in you, your disappointment that I'm not also from where you're from. Mm-hmm. Or your judgment that I'm from a place you don't like. So, and three, those records that I kind of have aren't real.
Yeah.
I don't trust like, any don't of that know. Shit. I'm like, yeah. I just really tracking this properly. No, I need trust to this get paper.
Just famous enough. Like, I don't need to be like crazy famous, but I want to be just famous enough for PBS to do that thing.
The Know Your Roots thing?
Yeah. I want to mm-hmm. be like just famous enough for somebody at PBS to do all the work.
Everything's always... We get tweets every now and then about people wanting us to do something with. First of all, I'm like, they don't need our help. They have a whole like mm-hmm. lab, and they have like
no help them, Tani. Go help them.
Oh, okay, I can punch up your jokes. Yeah. Is that what you want? Yeah, you want joke punch?
I just want to be there when we find out that Ben Affleck like had yeah. like Nazis in his family, and just watch him easily. Be like, oh man.
Oh. I mean, dang. Yeah, do people ever find out, like, good stuff? Or is it all just like, oh, no, we were the colonizers and we did terrible
well,
things?
Well, what's his name? Depressing. Hey, Fred, have you seen the Fred Armisen one?
I have not.
Okay, so, like, the Fred Armisen one, and also, like, I just want to make sure I don't... But, like, he was, like, really proud of, like, being, like, Japanese, I think. Mm-hmm.
Oh,
like, very proud sure. of being Japanese. And they were like, you're not. Like... His grandfather, like, came, like, escaped from Korea and, like, pretended to be Japanese.
Oh,
and then, like a lot of his identity, a lot of the things he, like in his house was, like, Japanese stuff. And it uh-huh. was, like, yeah, really, like, I love this part of me. And it was, like, oh, no, like, what do I do? Because, like, what do you do? Yeah. But then it turned out that the Korean grandfather or great-grandfather was, like, royal, like a royal Korean. So then it was, like, that's cool. And then
actually,
he had, like,
I'll take his, that. Yeah.
And then
yeah.
he had a museum of him in Japan. So, like, it, like, wow. You can see him being, like, so sad because, like, so much of, like, it's just like if you were just like, actually, you're not anything about this culture that you studied, that you love, that you've embraced. And then you yeah. went, they went there and they were like, actually, they found out he was Korean. And then they like made him like an honorary Japanese person or something.
Oh my
and
God.
And like made like a museum dedicated to him. So it was like, okay, cool. I could keep doing the shit that I've been doing.
I don't have to change my home decor.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was like, yeah. oh no.
I don't have to West Elm my house.
Yeah. Oh my but God. It was just like, I was like, oh, the Lord giveth, the Lord taketh. Oh, the Lord giveth the back. Okay. Lord.
the Lord returneth.
Yeah. So that's like yeah. the only story I've seen where it wasn't like, they're a colonizer, like they were stolen from there. It was just like a very in between, which feels very Fred Armisen, honestly.
Yeah.
Yeah. I guess I don't know what I'd do if they told me I wasn't the things like on my white side. Like they seem to know. There was I have a great aunt who's Mormon, and so she was on the like genealogy tip years and years ago. Mm-hmm. She made like a little book. I remember like my mom had to send her a picture of me to put in the book. I'm like the only little black child. That's not true. There's other little black children, but I was like definitely the most prominent, most grown little black child in this Mormon ass book. But I think it would be tough for that side of the family if they were like, you're actually not Austrian and Scottish or whatever else mm-hmm. they. But I would not care. I would be like, okay, so I'm some other white? Great.
All right. Yeah. All right.
Okay. Cool. What do I do? I don't fully get. I understand like being attached to your culture, but. I don't know. It like destroying your sense of, because if anybody told me I wasn't black, then I'd have a problem.
Yeah.
You'd
yeah.
Like, be no! Like, wait.
Well, because like, I think that like culturally and like just being white doesn't feel like, please don't bother me about this, but like, doesn't feel like, oh, my culture of whiteness. Like being Japanese, that is culture. They do mm-hmm. stuff. They got stuff.
They do stuff.
They got stuff. I don't want to say anything specific because I don't want nobody bothering me. But like white people in America, what y'all do? Kill a bunch of people?
I guess that's why. Look, we both lived in Chicago for a long time.
Yeah.
That St. Patty's Day parade, that is white culture. That is white love it. Culture. And you but know what? It's not just Irish culture. That is all white. Like all whites have said, this is ours. And I feel like we've said, and you're correct, and you can have that.
Yeah, that's
and
yours.
People in Ireland are confused because they don't do that. They don't like it. They don't understand it. They don't want nothing to do with it. So the same thing when you come over here and you be like, you're Irish, you're like St. Patrick's Day. And they're like, yeah, bro, I love it. And then you go to Ireland, in fucking Ireland, and you'll be like, Irish person in Ireland, do you like St. Patrick's Day? And they'll be like, I do not know what you're talking about. Why? I don't know who did it. They made it up. But I think that that's an interesting thing too, because like a lot of African Americans, you know, we had to create our culture from the cloth of everything, all of us getting together, and we created this culture. And then white people were like, what are we going to do? I don't know, man. Let's fucking dye the river green, gang, gang.
Oh my gosh. Shift, you're a damn delight. Oh, you're so delightful. Thank you so much for being here today. This has been very, very fun. This show is not often fun, but this has been very fun.
This is fun. This is not one of those like, and then they followed them home cases. It was like,
no,
that $1 million house is actually worth $1.6 million. I like them kind of stories.
Yeah, yeah.
I like it's like wealthy black people didn't get as much wealth as they deserved. Tsk.
Yeah. Love yeah, this. Exactly. Oh, and something I forgot to bring up from that story, speaking of just real quick, is that the area that they're in, it's a place called Marin City, which I'm from the Bay Area. When I was a kid, I don't think that town existed, or if it did, it was called something else. But it's this weird like thing in between Sausalito and the other place. But I think it started as a place that black people, like, I don't want to say fled to, but black folks went there to live there so that they could work in San Francisco and Sausalito. So it was a black like little townlet. It was a little black hamlet. So that makes it sting even more. These black people get disrespected. Right.
It's like Central Park. You'd be like, dang, why ain't no black people here? Oh, this was theirs. Like, oh, okay.
Yeah, you know the rest. Yeah.
Look it up.
Well, this has been so much fun. We're going to let you go. But Shantira, tell folks where they can hear you, see more of you, see your work, find you, whatever you want.
You can see me out in these streets. No, I'll be home. At Tira_Tira_Tira. Is that right? Tira_Tira? I don't know. It's three of them. On Instagram, on Twitter, I say things, I post things. Next season 6 of Big Mouth, I wrote for that. I watched Amber Ruffin. They're so great. All those episodes, they'll make you cry, they make you laugh. You know, I'm just out here trying to do my thing, working, hopefully. Next year, Aunties will come out and we'll be talking about that.
Yes. We're manifesting. It will come out and we'll have you back to talk about it.
Yes. Thank you.
Fantastique. Yes. Thank you. Matt, tell the people where to find you, my friend.
Twitter and Instagram at Matt Apodaca. But don't correspond. I don't need.
Homie said don't correspond.
follow only.
Oh wow, he said I want silent investors.
You can like, you can retweet,
okay,
but keep your dang mouth shut.
Wow. Okay, he said I would like your support, but I would not like your judgment.
I once again asking for your support, but no judgment.
Okay, well, you know what to do. Follow Matt, but keep your mouth shut. Follow me at Trondi Newman on all the things. Watch True Story on Netflix. Watch Lower Decks. Season 2's out. Season 2 been out on Paramount Plus. So catch up. You know, you can get a free trial. You can watch the whole couple of seasons in like a week and then cancel the trial. Don't tell them I said that. They don't listen to this show. So they'll never know. Kevin J. Bartelt on all the things. He got his handle back. We're still celebrating that. And catch all of our mostly non-racism related premium shows at suboptimalpods.com. That's where you can hear me and Andrew and sometimes folks like Matt or producer Zig, you know, doing watch-alongs, going to Costco, talking about alcohol, me and Poonam Patel read from our childhood diaries. It's a grab bag of content and it supports this show because it's more reliable than advertising. So come join us over there. Also get, you can gift like a few months of the bundle for people for the holidays. That's a good holiday gift. Just give them a few months of pristine content. Merch as well. suboptimalpods.com/merch. Ooh, those are all the things. Call in. 323-389-7223. That's 323-389-RACE with your racism.
Sketchfest.
Questions. Sketchfest. Jesus, thank you. God, I should have put this up front. We're doing a live show in San Francisco. Remember how we just dogged their newspaper? We weren't dogging their newspaper. Their newspaper just had the story. But we'll be in San Francisco January 22nd. It's a Saturday. We're doing a live show. Me and Andrew, we're going to have guests, Mahana Del Shiki and Jean Grey. Legend Jean Grey at 7:30 at Cobb's. So get tickets on our website on suboptimalpods.com or on the Sketchfest website. It's probably sfsketchfest.com if I had to guess. Yeah, I think that's right. Ooh, Kevin, did I do it?
You crushed it.
Okay, goodbye.
Great job.
Goodbye.
Goodbye. This is Suboptimal.